always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Let's see, next question here comes from RoboCop829. With all these signings to fill the rosters, Need tells me Rob was always aware what the roster needed all these years and just chose not to do anything SMH. I think that's accurate. I think it's very accurate that I don't think Rob ever forgot what a proper roster looked like. I just think that he and the Lakers had made a very conscious decision to not continue to, you know, throw assets and money at the LeBron AD era. I think they had made their decision on those couple of guys as far back as a few years ago. And, you know, they were going to try to, you know, split that baby of, we are going to, you know, be a relatively competitive team, but we aren't going to be that competitive because we need to keep our roster or our powder dry for whatever happens after the LeBron / AD era. So, I'm with you there, RoboCop, that I think Rob has always kind of known what a modern contending championship or championship contending roster should maybe look like, some of the critical parts of that roster and all that good stuff. But I also think that, you know, while LeBron and AD headlined that roster, Rob was never going to go all in. Whereas like now where he has Luka Doncic, somebody he actually believes in, you did see him go all in. This is the first season in recent memory, unless something drastic changes, that the Lakers are going to be going into a season without a first round pick at their disposal to potentially utilize at the trade deadline. That has never happened under Rob Pelinka. And that to me signals that he fully believes in Luka Doncic and he is doing everything that he possibly can to get that signature on the extension next year when he can sign it or whatever. And we'll see, you know, how effective these moves are, not just at, you know, building a legit contender, but also just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, securing that long-term commitment from Luka Doncic. And, you know, with LeBron and with AD, I just think just as we have seen very clearly that both sides were ready to move on from each other between the Lakers and LeBron this summer. And I think this plays a role in how ready LeBron was to move on from the Lakers this year. But it is very, very clear that Rob Pelinka stopped believing in LeBron and AD. I disagree with it, to be completely clear. But it's very apparent that he had stopped believing in LeBron and AD a while back. And as soon as Luka Doncic showed up, it was about, all right, let's see how many, you know, chips we have to put into the middle of the table to build out a roster that Luka believes in enough to sign the dotted line in the next couple of years. All right, let's go to the next question here, which comes from Is Bronny for a second, then Jake and Vando and seconds for PJ, then signing Nick Richards realistic? No. I would be pretty surprised if PJ Washington gets traded for anything less than one first round pick this summer. And obviously the Lakers don't have a first round pick, so that obviously complicates that matter. But I think PJ, you know, being a winning player, he's on a very workable contract for the next 4 years during his prime. I think he fetches them, or he or at the very least, Dallas is expecting him to fetch them a first round pick if they ever do finally trade him. And the Lakers don't have a first round pick. So that, like that as a starting point, I just don't makes that kind of unlikely. Now, as far as like Bronny for a second, it's going to be interesting, like how desperate these teams get to acquiring or, you know, for the sake of acquiring LeBron. Like one thing I've been kind of wondering about is if you're Cleveland, do you acquire Bronny for the sake of convincing LeBron and putting your in distancing yourself, widening that gap between Cleveland and Miami and Cleveland and Golden State? That hasn't happened, obviously. So you know, clearly, like this is the thing about like the LeBron sweepstakes as they are right now is like everybody keeps on talking about like, man, it's really incredible that LeBron at 42 years old is finding a way to dominate the league's momentum to the extent that he has. And it's like, yeah, he's doing that because he's signing on the minimum. Like he like LeBron has stalled out the rest of the league for the most part because all of these teams really, really, really want LeBron at the minimum. They didn't really, really, really want LeBron at $55, $57 million last season. They didn't want to have to give up anything for LeBron. When remember last year, last summer, when LeBron was like golfing with the you know, Cleveland hat or whatever it was he was, and when he went to Cleveland's practice facility and was taking pictures with some of their young players there, like, at that time, the you know, Rich Paul had kind of canvassed the league to see if they could find a trade partner that was interested in LeBron and didn't find anything. Nobody wanted to give up the assets and contracts necessary to trade for LeBron last season. And so like now you're looking at a situation where like all of these teams are getting LeBron completely on their terms. Of course, that's holding up the rest of the league. Of course, everybody is waiting to see how this thing plays out before they make whatever next decision comes. And that for, and like even further to that point, it's insane. Like Golden State could have LeBron yesterday if they would have just traded for Anthony Davis and agreed to an extension with Anthony Davis. And then LeBron goes up there and plays in Golden State, but they don't want to do that because they don't want to have to pay Anthony Davis that next extension. Cleveland could have LeBron James already right now if they signed or if they agreed to sign a trade with the Lakers that sent like Jarrett Allen back to LA. But they didn't want to do that, right? They see the possibility that they could sign LeBron on the minimum, and they're going to continue to see, you know, they're going to continue to seek out those opportunities. Miami, right? They don't even have the assets to be able to do all of that stuff, and they're looking at this and they're saying, you know, it'd be really good if we had a primary ball handler. Like Pat Riley was literally twerking for LeBron James on the Levitard show today, talking about how desperately they need a creator and how shooting is actually secondary to needing a creator. And the reason he's saying that is because LeBron wants the ball in his hands next year. So Riley and so all of these teams are just like, oh yeah, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get LeBron James. No, you're not. Clearly you're not, because those other things haven't been done yet. Right. So like we'll see wherever he goes and what secondary and tertiary moves come from him making that decision whenever he finally makes that decision. But as it stands right now, like it's just, you know, everybody's just like sitting here waiting for which minimum contract LeBron signs to next season. And like LeBron on a minimum is incredible value. Like whoever gets LeBron James on a minimum contract next year is immediately going to become a title contender, because if you have him at that number, you are just, you're getting such insane value there. Think about it like this. I'm pumped about the fact that the Lakers signed Matisse Thybulle to a minimum contract. Imagine how pumped I would be if the Lakers got LeBron on a minimum contract. And that's what all of these teams are waiting for. So like the LeBron stands in the media who are like trying to act as if like it's incredible that he's holding up the league even at this stage of his career. Like, yeah, it's because he's about to sign on a contract that is so far below, like laughably below market value for him. That's what's going on here. It's not, you know, it's not anything other than that. All right. Let's see what other comments and questions you guys have. I have to get out of here pretty soon because I'm in charge of dinner tonight. And the kids want spaghetti. So you guys, you know, only get me for so long. Let's see. Don Harold 2452, Kuminga effed up by not accepting that 20 mil 2-year offer. His agent is doing a legitimate disservice to him because that was a deal that he should have taken. I'm not positive after LeBron makes his decision, especially if LeBron goes to Cleveland, that even that offer is going to still be there for Kuminga. Last year, Kuminga waited all the way till September to sign the contract that he signed with Golden State, the 2-year deal that had a player or a team option on it. And I would imagine he's going to have to wait a little while again to land anything even within the same ballpark of that deal. So, the Lakers were willing to wave and stretch Vando and offer Kuminga that deal. He and his camp said no and said they would wait out for the rest of the market. And then while they waited, the Hawks, one of his options, went and traded for a player at his position who's probably better than him. So, Kuminga, what the Lakers did, right, obviously, as we talked about earlier, was they called Portland to see if they can, figure out a sign and trade and be able to pay Matisse Thybulle a little bit more and have him on a longer-term contract. And because Portland wasn't willing to play ball there, the Lakers basically had to go back to Thybulle and say, like, our only option here is to sign you to a minimum contract. And so now Thybulle is on that minimum contract. The Lakers might wind up doing the same with Kuminga now, where it's like, look, we tried to figure out a sign and trade for you. And, Atlanta didn't want to play ball. So, like, all we can offer you at this point is a vet min. And given the lack of options elsewhere, you know, you can either go and try to prove it on a bad team next year, or you can try to prove yourself on a team here in LA that is going to be contending for a championship the next 3 to 5 years. So your call, bud, and we'll see what comes of that. But I agree that given the way things played out, Kuminga should be looking at his agent a certain kind of way. All right. So let's do one more question/comment and get up out of here. Let's see. I think we're good. All right. Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and peace out here. And, I don't know why you're like standing for this guy's ability to make money. You don't get a percentage of it, but, please do, Jonathan Kuminga, go overseas and make $30 million in the 1 year and then be forgotten. Like, here's the thing with talented people. Okay. Talented people get away with more. They just do, right? You can, you hear all the time about Mariah Carey and or like, you know, various musicians and stuff like that. Usher, I think, falls into this category too, right? Who are like divas. They are very particular about like what is to be expected of the venues that they play at. What kinds of contracts that they signed, and they are very difficult about, those things. And they are difficult in that sense because they know they can get away with it because they're really, really talented. And yet, as you'll find out, if you are lucky enough to be so talented, is that day that you are no longer providing the return on investment that, is expected of a really talented person. the fall from grace is quick, you know, and Kuminga and his camp, like some of the stuff that you hear about, like what they were doing there in Golden State, whether it was during their negotiations or after their negotiations or before their negotiations, like Golden State was willing to put up with a lot of bullshit from Kuminga and his camp because there was a return on investment there until there wasn't. And then when there wasn't, Golden State was like, oof, we'll take on Kristaps Porzingis' really bad immune system just to not have to deal with you anymore, Jonathan Kuminga. Go away. And then Kuminga gets to Atlanta, does a lot of the same stuff while also playing really good. You know, playing really well on occasion there for Atlanta. And Atlanta eventually said, nah. Yeah, no, nope, this sucks. You're not worth the headache. And what you're watching take place here with Kuminga is an entire league basically hearing enough about this guy, recognizing that he doesn't provide consistently enough return on investment for the headache that he can possibly be. And the league is now telling him, you might be a veteran minimum guy. And then see what happens after that next contract, right? Somebody got really angry about me comparing him to Cam Reddish. I'm not saying they're the same player. Kuminga is a better basketball player than Cam Reddish. But look at how Cam Reddish's career played out. High lottery pick, given ample opportunity after ample opportunity and squandered all of those opportunities to the point where, you know what he was doing most recently? He was playing for the Orlando Magic Summer League team. And in the game that I watched, he didn't close out an overtime game for those guys. The league just makes these decisions really quickly on these headaches that are not worth those headaches and moves on really fast nowadays. And I think that's what we're watching here with Jonathan Kuminga, where he and his camp have moved a certain way. The league hasn't respected the way that he and his camp have moved. And now they're basically saying, like, yeah, you're worth this much. And that's it until you prove that you're worth a little bit more. And we'll see if he eventually is able to prove that. But as it stands right now, there's enough question about him that like the whole league is basically like, yeah, you're really talented, man, but you're not the brightest bulb in the box. And your camp is really annoying. And your agent is really annoying. The fact that his agent went on the Hoop Collective to make the case for like in a public negotiation, that's insanity. You don't see that from anybody else. And you know, I think that we have arrived here at a place where Kuminga's agent is probably going to have a really awkward conversation with Jonathan Kuminga. Teams are looking at that entire camp and saying, like, we're good here, man. And that's how it plays out for talented people who outstay their welcome. We got a super comment here, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Let's Run UNLV writes, no, Kuminga is a blessing, man. LA avoided a mess. I tend to agree to a certain extent with that sentiment. I think that, you know, especially after hearing some of the stuff that I heard there in Vegas about, like, the stuff that Kuminga and his camp were doing there in Golden State. And then some of the stuff that I heard hearing, you know, about like how it went in Atlanta. It's just, you know, those guys who just aren't realistic about where they are in their career and who they are as a basketball player and in relation to the most talented basketball league on the face of the planet. Like those guys are really difficult to figure out, and you don't want to be that last team that is on the hook for that player on anything more than the vet men, right? We started the show talking about how excited I was about Matisse Thybulle being on the vet men. And the reason I was that kind of excited about it is because like there is no downside. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And what the Lakers are trying to limit and what all of these teams are trying to limit in their negotiations with Jonathan Kuminga and his camp is like, they want to limit that downside. They want to limit that risk because of the stuff that they have seen from this guy over the course of his entire career. Now, it's not even like he's super young. He's like 20. What is he? 27. Let's see. Jonathan Kuminga. No, he's 23. Take that back. But still, Jonathan Kuminga being 23 years old, and every year he has been in the league, he's been a bit of a headache. And all of these teams, and specifically the two that he's played so far, are like, decided, yeah, you're really talented, but you are not worth the headache. And when two teams and two good, like, team-wide cultures send that signal out, the rest of the league listens loud and clear. All right. I think I am. Chrisma. So do you think there's any smoke to the Walter investigation? They are accused of, it's an insurance company that is being accused of moving funny in, financially and stuff like that. Without getting too specific into the allegations, I always think that insurance companies are scamming people because they always are. there is no wider accepted, more widely accepted scam than insurance across the board. And so when I hear that, this billionaire is moving funny and his insurance company is at the center of this investigation, my instinct is always to believe that there's probably some fire to that smoke. As we hear more about it, obviously we'll cover it more here. This doesn't affect, I know that there are going to be some Clippers fans who hop on here like, why aren't you covering it as extensively? Have you talked about the aspiration thing? It's like, if it affects the basketball, I'll talk about it because it affects the basketball. Because your cap circumvention, like in Milwaukee, and as we saw with the Clippers, that affects the basketball. That provides an unfair advantage to the Clippers or to the Bucks. And if the allegations against Mark Walter provide an unfair advantage to the Lakers, then I'll hop on here and talk about it more extensively. But as it stands right now, it just sounds like, private business doing private business stuff and insurance companies operating like insurance companies and scamming people, which... that's what insurance companies do. All right. Thank you, everybody, for hopping on here. The somewhat shorter show here because we are reaching that part in the summer, that point in the summer where these conversations start getting a little shorter. If we get any more breaking news, obviously, I'll hop right back on here and talk about that breaking news. But this is a good day. Landing Matisse Thybulle for the veteran minimum is very good business here from the Lakers. So those of you who are really, really angry at me all the time for criticizing everything that the Lakers do, and for those of you who always accuse me of not being capable of just praising the Lakers for something, here, that was a great move. This has been a very positive episode. I am in a very good mood about the fact that the Lakers got a legit 3-and-D wing for the veteran minimum, and I think he's really going to help next year. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Turn on notifications. Go to Prize Picks. Use promo code HMA. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.